1 Timothy chapter 6. That's where we're going to continue today. We've been cruising through some chunks of scripture over the past couple weeks, and we're cruising towards the end. We're drawing close to the end of the book of 1 Timothy. And it's been a great study, and it's been a great time swimming around in this as Paul's encouraging a young pastor in the church there in Ephesus, and just really holding him accountable. And Timothy was equipped. He'd been invested in, he'd been trained up, and Paul had told him to stay. Hey, you need to stay here. You need to shepherd this flock. But Paul didn't just leave him there and say sayonara. He continued to encourage and train him and teach him and be there for him, though maybe through a letter he could do that. So it's been a great time. So some issues, you know, that he was dealing with was he was dealing with some false teaching. He was dealing with some people in the church that were teaching bad doctrine, and they were teaching in a way that would cause people to sin. They would cause people to draw them away from their relationship with God, or to twist their thinking on the truth. And Paul encourages Timothy to deal with this stuff, to deal with the false teaching and the false teachers, and to do something about it. And you know, Timothy was just like many pastors today, dealing with what's going on in the world, and not much has changed. So, you know, we're not a perfect church by any means, but we do preach and teach the Word of God. And we hold fast to the infallible, there's no errors in this book, and we believe that by faith, and we hold fast to that, and we teach and preach this book because of the faith that we have in it. And we're crazy enough to believe that God would preserve that for thousands of years for us to be able to hold His Word in our hands and to be able to teach that to others so that they can teach it to others and so that they can teach it to others. And so it doesn't stop. So that the Word of God does not die. This nation and this world needs God's Word more today than it ever has. But yet there's less and less people preaching God's Word. And we are encouraged and we are instructed by God to take His Word to the world. And that world starts right here. And, you know, we're doing a great job, but there's always room for improvement for all of us. You know, we need to be teaching others how to walk by faith. And, you know, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So how do we teach others to have faith? Through God's Word. Not by, yes, we need to walk alongside them, and we need to show them how to have faith and how to walk by faith. But it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to teach the Word. And I think sometimes, you know, we can't balance that properly, and we balance it so far on the physical side of it, like, this is how you do it, step by step. When we have the instruction manual, but we don't open the instruction manual, and we don't show them, this is how God wants us to walk by faith. This is how you walk by faith. This is how God has designed it. This is exactly, He's preserved this for us to see, but yet we don't do that oftentimes, and because it's easier to physically show somebody, just do it. Right? I'm one of those guys that, especially with working with my boys, I'll show them how to do something 4, 5, or 6, or 27 times, and finally I'm like, just let me do it, instead of letting them learn. Right? And that's a mistake on my part, because sometimes it takes 127 times of failing before we can figure out how to do something. But we need to be there to encourage them and to instruct them, and we have the manual right here to do that. So, today I want us to look at two verses. We're getting close to the end, so I'm shortening my verse. I'm not a big chunk verse guy anyway, but we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. And there's two words that God gave me, and I didn't have to make this up because it's right here in the text, but I titled this sermon to flee and fight. And these two words aren't two words that you normally use together in the world today, because if you're a fighter, you're not going to flee from the fight. You're going to engage in the fight, and you're going to get after it. But what we see here is Paul is instructing Timothy, because of what we're going to talk just a short bit about last week. He instructed him to flee these things that are hindering you from fighting. Because the things of our old life, right? We talk about having this big pile of stuff, and it hinders us from fighting the fight. And it's not a fight like we think of. Like, come on, Travis, let's get it on, right? I've never been a fighter like that, but some people are, and they just like to fight. Like siblings, they love to fight with each other. But what we see here in our text today, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 12, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Father God, today, as we look at these two verses, God, that you've given us to examine today, God, allow us to open our hearts, allow us to lay all the weight that so easily besets us aside today. Let us just come to you with a clean, open heart today to receive what you have for us. God, we all have work that needs to be done in our lives, and only you can do that, but God, we have to be willing to let you do it. So God, I pray today you do a mighty work in us today. Change us from the inside out. In Christ's name, amen. So, I'm trying to get away from my review because I waste a lot of time reviewing. So, and I've challenged you to just go to the, if you need a review, just go to the website and listen to it. You can fast forward and cut and edit and do whatever you want. Whatever you don't want to listen to, you can just skip that part, you know, because that's how we do it. But for sake of review, you can go back and you can listen to past messages on our website at nlbc.com or org or something. I don't know. Just Google New Life Baptist Church and you can get there. It's very easy to navigate. So, so last week, just for really short, our text last week began with the word but. And again, this week we see the word but. Paul had told Timothy that some covet after money and have erred from the faith, meaning the love of money far outweighed their love for God. And not that they couldn't have money, but their love should not be more for their money or their possessions or their things or their stuff, more than God. And oftentimes that the love that we have for our physical stuff far outweighs our love that we have for God, or our love that we have for our relationship with God. Because we have all this stuff, and it's all up in us, and it's all around us. So it's easy to love. Even when it breaks or breaks down or burns up, we still are like, man, my heart's broken because I loved that, whatever. But Paul begins by saying, but thou, O man of God, but thou, you Timothy, that is sold out, servant of Christ. Thou, O Timothy, that desires to serve Christ with all that you have. But thou, O Timothy, one that has found victory in Christ. He's like, listen, you are a man of God, Timothy. And he wasn't like reprimanding him. He's just telling him, remember who you are. Remember your identity that you have in Christ. Remember, because these things that are surrounding you and all this stuff that's going on in the body there in Ephesus, don't let that consume you. Because listen, Timothy, you are a man of God, and you need to flee these things. Do not be entangled with the bondage of this stuff. Don't get all wrapped up in someone else's sin, though you need to deal with it because you're the shepherd. Don't involve yourself in it. Because it's easy, right? We get $5 in our pocket, and it's easy to like love that $5. I can get some double cheeseburgers with that, right? But he's like, listen, Timothy, you are not that. You're not the man that you once were. And he says, flee these things. I love what it says in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. I love that verse. We want to be a man or woman of God, then we need to listen to the Lord for direction, because he has it all preserved for us. He says, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? This is what you need to do. You want to be a man of God? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. We think we know what is good, but God will show us what is good. And he instructs us how to be godly. Can your name be entered in our passage today? Can you say when Paul says, but thou, O man of God, can that be you? Are you a man or woman of God? Are you found full of faith? But thou, enter your name here. Can you do that? I love how Paul doesn't beat around the bush. And Paul says to flee these things. Believer, we need to flee the old man. We need to flee the old habits. And like I said last week, some of us have very colorful pasts, right? It's super colorful, and it's a really ugly past. And I had to flee that thing and not return to it, because God has given me new life, and if you're a believer today, He's given you new life, and though you have a past that is always going to be your past, and it's always going to be there in the back of your mind, we need to forget those things. Because the Bible says forget those things and press towards the mark, right? We need to get focused on our relationship, get focused on eternity, and quit letting our past rule our future. You know, some of our past still lingers with us, and I talked about that last week, because the messes that we made, sometimes we have repercussions that it's going to last for a little while. But how we deal with those things, instead of allowing them to consume us, repenting of those things, and letting God work in and through us to get those things dealt with, that's where victory comes. If we would repent, we would stand a chance at victory. But oftentimes the mess that we made previously to meeting Jesus as our Lord and Savior is laying around the corner, and we keep going back to it. All the while, it's hindering our growth. Because you cannot grow in reverse, right? We're in Clinton, maybe you do. But you don't see cars driving in reverse going down the highway. You go to Walmart at 9:45, you might see that. But we don't see cars driving down the road in reverse. Why? Because it would take forever to get where we're going, and there would be crashes everywhere. I don't care if you have a backup camera or not, you're going to crash, and it's going to take you 10 times longer to get where you're going. We don't drive in reverse, okay? That's just it. Cars are not designed to do that, and neither are we. We're not designed to go backwards. We're designed to go forwards. That's how God created us. But we try it. We try it with everything we can to go backwards. So what if you would flee from those old things? You know, though we see in our text from last week, Paul speaking of discontentment and the loving of money, there's more baggage. Jesus tells us in His Word that if we're not willing to flee the old life, that we can't be His disciple. If we can't do some things and count the cost and realize that that life means nothing, but following Christ means everything, we can't be His disciple. But we want to come to Jesus, like the picture that I showed last week, pulling our U-Haul, saying, Jesus, I'm coming, but I got some stuff that I got to bring with me because it makes me comfortable. And Jesus has no desire for us to bring comfort from the world. But we need those comfort things. We need the things that we've built up in this lifetime because they make us feel good. You know, many times we see someone come to Christ in the Gospels. They come to Him and they ask, what do we need to do to be followers of You, Jesus? And He lays out some things that they need to do. The balance is flipped the wrong way oftentimes. Oftentimes material or temporary stuff is more important than our relationship with Christ. How many times do we wake up on Sunday mornings and we think, man, I would just like to sleep in. You know what? I'll catch church next week. Or Brad keeps saying that we can listen to it on the website. That's the devil. He's trying to keep us from coming together. You know, it's more than church. It's more than coming together on Sunday mornings. I know that. But I know that it's a battle that we all face as we get up on Sunday morning, that we're like, man, the Chiefs play at 5:30 tonight, and I've got a lot to do to prepare for that. We have a lot of time. You have plenty of time to do that. But the devil wants to have his way. How many Tuesday and Thursday nights do we miss because we just don't feel like going? How many opportunities do we have that we miss? How many do we need to miss before we realize that we're out of God's will? Jesus desires all of us, not part of us. Because we have to learn and grow in order to be able to maintain balance in those things. And we're all busy people, and I know that. But man, when there's an opportunity to get in God's Word with his children, we should want and desire that. And obviously I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here today, so hallelujah. 7 degrees outside, I'm like, maybe nobody will come to church, God. Everybody's at church. It's warm in here. So we have to learn and grow to be able to maintain balance. We read here to flee these things and to do what? Paul says, flee these things. So it's one thing for Paul to say, hey, all that sin that's surrounding you, your past life, whatever it is, flee that. Okay, good. I can flee that, but what else? Oftentimes we give people instruction with no solution. Or part of the instruction. But Paul is, man, he's on it here because he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow this list of things that I'm going to list out for you today. And there's six things that I just quickly want to run through today. And I am not a list guy like Tyler is, but this is just a list here. So we want to look at these six things that Paul says to follow after. If you want to flee your past, if you want to flee sin that's in your life, repent of it and do these things. This is what we have to do. We have to put it into action. You know, this wasn't because Paul thought Timothy was in sin, but he was investing in him, helping him to grow spiritually, just like you and I. And there's many things that seem elementary to us, right? Well, I know those things and I know all of this, but do we ever apply it? And I just want to quickly run through these six things here that Paul says to follow after. And number one, he says to follow after righteousness. Paul tells Timothy, follow after righteousness. In the short version, it means to be right with God. So to be right with God, we must be clean from sin and we must be walking with Him. We are to maintain this relationship, not that we can lose our salvation if we don't, but we need to, we break fellowship with God when we are not righteous. When we are not right with God, obviously that means something's wrong. And I love in Job chapter 1, man, Job, what a dude. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil, and there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 11,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 5,000 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses and every one at his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Dude, this dude was a righteous dude. He was right with God. And if you read on in the story, we don't have time today, the devil's like, hey, I think I can get him to not be righteous. God's like, have you considered my servant Job? Everything was going so well. And then if you read the rest of the story, you can see that Satan tried to have his way with him because he thought that he could get him to fall. God was confident in this man that Job was in his righteousness. There may be none in this room today that could ever endure just a piece of what Job went through. Because he, all of that, man, he was like the greatest farmer of the East, right? He had all kinds of stuff, a great family, a great house, a great homestead, and yet it was all stripped away from him. Everything. But you know what he still had? He still had his relationship with God. The things of this world, though he was a great man, and he had a great deal going here, he clung to Christ. He clung to God during the time of heartbreak and turmoil that he endured. And the question that we have today is, how do we face adversity? How do we handle adversity in our life? Because all of us have dealt with some sort of adversity, some worse than others. Some of us have been through, the thickest of things. And how do we handle that adversity? Do we flesh out and just go into flesh out mode and we just got to fix this right now? Or do we trust God? That God is doing something in our lives and that He would allow things to happen to grow us closer to Him. Can we endure that? You know, in Psalm chapter 1 verse 6 it says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God truly is the one that knows righteousness, and He knows what we are to be doing and when and how we are to be doing it. He has made the believer a new creature. And the Holy Spirit enables us to be righteous. The second thing here that Paul says, hey, follow after godliness. And 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now," or that now is, "and of that which is to come." And 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Well, why do I want to be godly? Because I don't want to face persecution. I get enough persecution when I'm not godly. Why do I want more if I'm godly? We're to be like Christ. We're to show the world who Jesus is by the way that we walk each day. Every moment, the world is watching us. And oftentimes we don't do this. You know, we're called to walk the walk, and we're called to live godly. Why else would we suffer persecution? And we are to live contrary to the world instead of blending in. You know, godliness brings contentment, and content with Christ, needing nothing more. When others see us, do they see Jesus? Do they see us as little Christ? Do they see us as, man, that is a godly dude. That is a godly woman. Man, they are just so godly. Not to like, you know, but the people should see God in us. The third one is faith. We're going to cruise through these quickly. You know, faith is, in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Biblical definition for us right there in God's Word. We don't have to make it up. And this is why we are to live by faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we are fleeing sins that so easily beset us, what are we doing? It's going to take some faith in God to deliver us from the bondage that we once were in, or maybe the bondage that we find ourselves in today. It's going to take faith believing that God can move mountains, and that God can take things out of our life, and that God can do a mighty work. That's going to take faith. We try to say, I've got this, and I can do this, and I have control of this, and then there's no faith. We have to live by faith, one step at a time, defeating the mess that we have made in the past, allowing God to do that. We can't fight this battle. We have to have faith that God will fight it for us. And then love, this word love here, there's three types of love, but this word love that we find here in verse 11 is an agape love, like an affectionate love. If I had time, we would go through all of those, but we don't. But this form, it's spoken of, it's an affectionate type of love. Showing this love with our lives and with our actions. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God commended His love toward us, and that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's love. John 13:34-35 says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men should know that you are my disciples, if you have love one towards another." One more, Luke 10:27 says, "And he answered and said, Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Church, do we love the souls of Henry County? Well, I love some of them. Some of them are just weird, right? Some of them are, they smell funny, they act funny. But yet, Christ died for all men. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we looked funny, smelt funny, talked funny, did dumb things, whatever it is. That affectionate love that Christ poured out on the cross for us, because of God's love for us, we are to love those around us as well. We have a lot of work to do. Because oftentimes it's easier to be judgmental than it is to love. And then the fifth one is patience. This word here is also used as cheerful or hopeful. And when we think of the word patience, we think of a reaction. You know, that's a meaning of the word patience, but we know that words can have multiple meanings, and the Strong tells us it's defined as cheerful or hopeful. Another word for this is enduring, and it's used 11 times in the King James Bible, like this. The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord for direction instead of moving on emotions, shall renew their strength. And it goes on to say that they shall run and not grow weary. My patience fuse sometimes is short. Anybody else have a short patience fuse? Sometimes I don't have a fuse for my patience. But what about thinking of it in the context of being cheerful or hopeful or enduring. Do you ever feel weary? I think some of us here this morning are weary, and we need to give it to God. We're all busy. Man, our plates are so full. They look like a plate on Super Bowl Sunday with chicken wings on it that they just keep falling out, because that's just the lifestyle that we live. Because some of us can't stand to have an empty plate. Some of us can't stand to use a divided plate, right, to where we can eat just small portions, or in the world, do small things one at a time. Some of us just have to be task-oriented to where we're so busy because we can't stand to not be, that we just need to stop. Busyness is not a good thing if it's just to be busy. Sometimes we have to do the backup and punt, take a breath and ask God for direction, guidance, and most of all for His grace. Do one thing at a time well, and allow Him to work in and through us. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we need to live that. We need to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto our own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge who God is, right? And He will direct our paths. We need to trust Him. We need to be hopeful of what He's going to do in and through us. And He will. We have to have patience with God. We need to be hopeful in God. We need to endure what we're going through for God. We need to be doing that. And everything will happen in His timing and not in our own. The sixth one is meekness. Not a word we use much in the English language today, but it's defined as gentle or humble. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, what the greatest example of everything, but what the greatest example of being a meek man. He was gentle as He invested in the souls of men. You know, He did get honked off a couple times in the temple, right? And He showed that, hey, I mean business. But He was so gentle as He trained His disciples, as He went through this time that He walked on earth. And He was just, man, He was the humblest of humble. The gentle one. God desires for us to have a meek spirit about us. Not a fighting spirit, but a lover of men, a lover of God, a lover of the Word. That's what God desires for us. This is just a great list you see displayed in Jesus' life. All of these things, we could show you examples in God's Word of God, of Jesus displaying all of this. You know, God is so gentle with us, yet He disciplines us. But the grace that He pours out on us is so gentle. So the verse 12, this is where we're going today. It says to fight. So we need to flee all those things, follow after these six things that we've seen here, and get busy fighting. And get busy fighting. Not MMA, right? Not WWF or whatever that weird stuff is, but fighting the fight that truly matters. How are we to have a meek spirit and be a fighter? This word fight is used as also strive, fight, or labor fervently in the Bible. It's not a word as we know it as being a brawler. Paul tells Timothy here to fight the good fight of faith. Church, we are in a battle today. We're in a battle for the souls, and the devil is devising a new plan every moment of every day to try to steal them, to try to keep them, right? He's already got the souls of this world in bondage. We are to fight the good fight of faith, and we need to be going out and speaking truth to deliver them from that. And Satan is a crafty dude, and he is trying in every way possible to keep them wrapped up in bondage. We have the keys. We got like, we're the dude, the maintenance guy with the ring of keys. And we have the keys for every door. We have the keys to unlock every lock. We have the keys that can deliver people from bondage, not because of who we are, but because who is in us and because of who we believe. And we have the keys right here to unlock everyone. And God has entrusted us to do that. But yet we don't, because we don't want to offend someone. We don't want to get up in their business. We don't want to get in the muck and the mire with them. We don't want to get involved in that. And it truly is a balance. And Paul's, you know, as he's encouraging Timothy, you need to flee these things. Don't be involved in them. You're going to have to be involved in them because you're going to have help people have victory. You're going to have to give the keys. You're going to have to give the word so that people can be delivered. So that these false teachers and these people that are wrapped up in discontentment that are in the church, they need you to unlock that. God needs that, church. We need to be doing that. We're to be soldiers. You know, there's not a whole lot of people. Well, maybe there is. I'm not a military guy. But, you know, I think if you enlist in the military, no matter what branch it is, that you should be prepared to go to war. You should be prepared to fight. You should be prepared to engage in a battle. And God, it's the same way with us, believer, right? We are born again. We are now soldiers. We are enlisted. We are born again for a new purpose, and that is to glorify God and reproduce worshipers. But we're in a battle. And God doesn't save us just to, obviously He saves us from going to hell and so we can have eternity with Him, but He saves us for a purpose. But yet we don't engage in the battle because, you know, we don't want to pick up the sword. Because that takes work. And that takes training. And that takes boot camp. And that's why kids these days don't go to the military, because they don't want to go through boot camp. Well, I don't want people yelling at me and telling me what I can and can't do. I don't want to go through the training. I don't want to endure that. I don't want to go through the Bible Institute on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I am busy. Do you understand all the things that I'm involved in? I don't have time for that. That's what we're telling God. God, I don't have time to engage in your battle because I have way too many battles of my own. We need to pick up the sword. Right here. You're in a great place. You're in a great church that has great people that want to invest this sword into your life so that you can properly handle it, so that you can go to battle, so you can go to war. We have the eternal words of God, and Paul encourages Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. And we need to be laboring fervently with the word. Not to be busy, but to be about the real business of the believer's life. You know, we're charged to be prepared. We need to be laboring fervently in God's word so we are prepared. Training daily, right? If I was an exercise guy, which obviously I'm not, but if I was, like Shorty lifts weights every single day. He pursues that fervently because he wants to be strong, because he doesn't want to get knocked on his rear end on the football field or whatever it is, right? There's a purpose behind that. But spiritually, if we would strive daily and pursue God's word daily to become stronger believers every day, man, if we would put the time in that we put the time in for worldly things into spiritual things, man, we could get right on with it. And we could fight the good fight. Oftentimes we can't fight the good fight because we don't know how. We don't know how to do that. We don't even know what the fighting means. We need to get ready, obedient worshipers. We need to grow. And this is why Paul first says to flee sin and have vigorous pursuit of virtue. Flee this garbage. Flee all of this stuff that's a distraction to the kingdom, and follow after these things and get engaged in the fight. That's what God is telling us today, church. That's what he's instructing us to do. Paul's instructing Timothy, but God is instructing us to flee some things. Follow after what truly matters. Flee the old man. Don't return to the pile that you made. Burn it. Okay? This week at work, me and my son, we were rebuilding a deck. And I hate a cluttered job site. You can ask Tyler. I'm like OCD about it. I can't stand it. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just burn this stuff. Right out here by the highway. If you drove by, I'm sorry. But we burnt all of the old lumber. And you know what we can't do? We can't reuse that stuff now. Because it's gone. There's just a pile of nails that I have to pick up now. We burnt it. And that's what we have to do with our past. Tear it down. Burn it. Because you can't bring it back. You can't build 2x4s out of ashes. If you could, I would, because they're so expensive. But you can't. They're gone. It's just like what we do when we repent of our old life. What if we did that with the stuff that hinders our walk? You know, we have to flee before we can fight. If you're born again today, you've placed your faith in Jesus. You have new life, one that is not the same. This one is eternal. The old one has passed away. Behold, all things are become new, it says. You now have a home in heaven, and your eternal life with Jesus began at the moment of salvation. And this is not something that you work towards or gain more along the way. It's a gift of God, and it's only through His grace, not through our works. You know, if we had to work for our salvation, then Jesus didn't even need to come. He didn't need to live. He didn't need to die. He didn't need to be buried or rose again. None of that would have mattered. We know that. Jesus was the sacrifice that satisfied the sin debt to God that every man is born with today. It is now offered to all that will believe. The gospel is not for a select people group. It's for all souls. And Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And what is the difference between good and bad? They're polar opposites, right? We often spend a great amount of time fighting for things that honestly don't matter in God's plan. Because we all have our opinions, and we all have this, and we all have that. We have certain sides that we side towards, you know, whether it be political or world events or rights of the people, whatever it is. And we all fight with everything that we have for that. And it consumes us. And it don't matter a lick. It doesn't. It don't matter who you agree with. It doesn't matter. The Bible tells us to pray for those that are in our authority. But it doesn't matter. Okay? Because God is on the throne. And if we would remember that and quit bickering with each other and fighting and being distracted because it's a device of the devil. I'll just be honest with you. It means nothing. We need to focus. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on. Lay hold on eternal life. Because it says, whereunto thou art also called. Paul invested in Timothy, and Timothy was prepared, and Paul encouraged Timothy to engage in what he knew was right, that good fight. We know the Lord, but yet we don't engage in the battles before us. Timothy was in the middle of a battle there in Ephesus and dealing with some of the preaching and teaching of doctrine that was wrong, and they were leading others astray. And Paul told Timothy, get to fighting, son. Pursue God with everything you have, Timothy. You're going to need Him every step of the way. And how are we any different? You know, Timothy was a pastor, and some of us aren't, but we all are all some sort of shepherd, and we all lead someone or something in our life. And Paul closes with this. He says, professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy was known by many. Okay, he was a pastor in the church there in Ephesus, and Ephesus was a great place, and there was many people, and it was a rich environment, and people knew who Timothy was, and though they may not have agreed with him or liked him, they knew he was a pastor and that he had to walk, not just talk. And they were probably looking for him to fail. And Timothy needed Paul to hold him accountable, just like we need each other to hold us accountable. I need men in my life that are going to hold me accountable, and they're going to hold my feet to the fire, and they're going to call sin for what it is. And we all need people like that in our life. We are called to so much more than coming to church on Sundays. We are. Some of us are equipped and don't use this. Some of us don't use the opportunities. We don't want an opportunity. Let me tell you something. I'm just going to, if you want an opportunity to get in the battle, stay after church today and meet with Bill. The battle begins right here, church, because we have little souls surrounding us, consuming us, stealing our seats, right? Hallelujah. But we need to reach them, because if we don't, the world's trying. Amen, Andrew. The world is trying to steal our children. And we can get right involved in the battle. If you're equipped, you need to be in the battle. Because that's what truly matters. You know, we need to flee sin and follow after all of these things. You know, the Bible says that all unrighteousness is what? Sin. I find it fitting that Paul says, flee these things and follow after, number one, righteousness. Flee the sin that's unrighteous and engage in the battle that is right before us. Timothy, get involved. Church, we need to get involved in the battle. We all you know, we all have a desire somewhere deep down inside of us to grow. Pretty much everyone in the room stood when I asked if we were ready to grow in 21. So we have a desire to grow. But maybe we just don't know how to grow. Maybe we don't know how to be active. Well, we won't know unless we ask. Right? We have to take the first step, and that's going to take faith for us to do that. And that's not just the children's ministry. It's fresh on my mind. But whatever it may be, maybe you have a neighbor that is lost, dying, and going to hell, and you don't know how to engage in a conversation to share truth with them. Stay after church today. I'm not Billy Graham, but I do know that what the Word of God says, and I know the gospel, and I know what it did in my life, and we're living proof if we're born again, and we should be able to share that with someone else. Flee those worldly things. Pursue God with everything that we have today. Fight the good fight. Let's pray.